You are listening to Anamkara, a podcast about the spiritual journey and what makes us human. Anamkara is a soul friend, a person with whom you can share your deepest thoughts, feelings, and dreams with. In this podcast, I will share my journey as well as occasionally have guests from myriad different religions and walks of life. And for a time, we walk together and learn from each other's journey. So come along with us and be an Anamkara, a soul friend.
There's a saying attributed to an unknown Zen master that says, "Nothing is left to you at this moment but to have a good laugh." And the theologian Karl Barth is quoted as saying, "Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God." So many of the world's religions celebrate laughter, but I'm left wondering, then why do the followers of these religions seem so serious? My guest today is Leslie Grasa. We first connected during our initial laughter yoga training. Leslie is a laughter yoga ambassador and a certified laughter yoga teacher, leader. And in addition to being passionate about laughter yoga, Leslie is a performance artist who creates original performance work inspired by dreams and classic stories. She's also a spiritual coach and practices and teaches shamanic healing and Reiki. And she's currently a PhD student in transformative studies at the California Institute of Integral Studies. She holds both a master's in divinity and a master's in fine art and contemporary performance from Naropa University. And you can find Leslie most days helping to lead her free international yoga club on Zoom. So let's hear from Leslie about laughter yoga and laughter in spirituality. All right, so welcome, Leslie. Tell us a bit about who you are and how you came to practice laughter yoga.
Thank you so much for having me. So happy to be here. So laughter yoga, it hasn't been that long, about a year and a half ago, I was involved in the Dynamic Neural Retraining System, which is a brain retraining program for people with chronic illness. I have chronic Lyme disease. And several people kept saying, you know, when I started doing laughter yoga, my health completely shifted and I felt so much better. And I was hearing this over and over, and I didn't know what laughter yoga was, and it sounded weird, and I didn't feel great, and thought I was thinking yoga, you know, I can't do those postures. But somewhere along the line, I decided to try it. There were some classes within that community, and honestly, the first time I did it, I hated it, but something in me said, you need this. And so I kept going. And for about 2 months, I was doing it once, twice, maybe three times a week. Every time was like pulling teeth out, I was grumbling. And all of a sudden, one day, after about 2 months, I woke up and there I had signed up for a class later that day. And I thought, oh, I get to do laughter yoga today. And I caught myself and thought, wait a minute, like, that's a shift. I was excited about it. And from then on, it just became something I really began looking forward to and looking for ways to incorporate more into my life and sort of looking for classes. And it was still kind of COVID time, so in-person classes, you know, weren't really happening around my area. So I started looking for online options. And then I saw that Dr. Kataria had the basic learning course. And I thought, well, you know, that will get me to do laughter yoga, you know, for several times a week for, I think the initial one was 2 weeks because I just signed up for the learning course. And then I added the leadership training after the initial 2 weeks. And And I loved it. And so, yet again, did the 2 weeks of the basic learning course. And then they said there was this opportunity to do leadership training. I had no real intention of becoming a leader in any big way. I just wanted to do more laughter yoga. So I thought, okay, great, I'll sign up and do that. And then in that time, I started attending, I think actually it was the second day after the first basic learning course class, I went to my first international laughter club meeting in the evening and immediately fell in love and started going almost every day pretty quickly. And that was February of last year and almost a year now. And suddenly I had people I knew who were saying, hey, would you lead a class? So then I was leading a class three mornings a week. And then this past November, Dr. Kataria asked if I would be willing to consider leading as part of the evening group. And I was a little intimidated, felt a little unsure, I said, okay, I'll try. Like, and you know, I'm a little animated. I have a background in theater, so I'm comfortable in front of groups, and I'm not shy. So I never saw, and he's been wonderful kind of helping train me in the background and then working with an international audience that were English
people made. From all over the world, yeah.
So there's a difference, you know, how I work with my English speaking morning group versus the evening group. So just learning little different ways of leading. And meanwhile, my mood, my health has shifted. My life has shifted. You know, Dr. Kataria always says, when you laugh, you change. And when you change, the world around you changes. And that has been so true for me. And I mean, I think twofold. One, I'm a happier person. So I'm meeting the world in a happier way. And then I'm also seeing the world in a more positive way. I'm choosing to look for the rays of hope in this world that can be a little dark right now, you know, this, and the joy and the ease and the play. So I think that quote is with me often. And like I said, hits me in both in the way that I meet the world, but also in the way that I see the world. So it has changed and is continuing to change my life in such powerful ways. And I'm grateful.
So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I'm going to test it. For those listeners who may not be familiar with laughter yoga, do you remember kind of a little bit of the history and then some of the premise of it?
Yeah, so laughter yoga was started by Dr. Madan Kataria in 1995. He is a medical doctor and at the time was always looking for new ways to support his patients. He also, I believe, was editor of a magazine and wrote for a magazine that shared health tips. And he came across an article on the healing power of laughter and decided to try that. And then very much, I don't know that he had an idea yet of what, you know, laughter yoga would become, but in 1995, five people met in a park in Mumbai and started laughing. And I've heard him say, you know, they started telling each other jokes but then some people might find a joke funny and some wouldn't. And so they begin to evolve the practice into, let's just laugh for no reason. And building off the studies that show that, you know, you may have heard in the meditation world, sometimes they'll talk about that. If you smile, your brain doesn't know if you're really, it just thinks you're happy We can have happy brain chemistry and smile, or we can smile and get happy brain chemistry. So they were working off that principle that fake it until you make it. And over the past 27 years, this practice has evolved. And so laughter yoga, it's not a comedy. It is an exercise program where we laugh, we choose to laugh to gain health benefits. Often it's a fake it till you make it. So you might start off ha 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 ho ho ho. And then eventually it becomes genuine laughter. And then in a laughter yoga session, there's usually a leader or several leaders that take turns, and it's helping just keep the momentum going, keep the energy going. It's very playful and tapping back into childlike energy. You know, children laugh 300 to 400 times a day naturally, and adults laugh 7 to 10. It always makes me think, you know, how much of the aging process is that we stop laughing? How much of adult illness is that we stop laughing?
Right.
When, you know, there have been close to 400 studies now, clinical studies showing the benefits of laughter yoga. Well-conducted research trials showing the benefits for brain chemistry, for immune system, for bone density, for blood sugar in people with diabetes. I mean, it impacts all the systems of the body, and it's a very simple yet powerful medicine.
And for anyone who has not experienced it, it is very contagious in these groups.
Yes.
Like, I'm sitting there looking at you, and it's just hard not to start giggling. Even when you were talking about serious things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, here we go, it's ready to start.
Oh yeah, I've got now I put my arms out in front of me, because that's there's a common exercise. We do a breathing exercise where you put your arms out and then you pull them towards your chest as you breathe in. I put my arms out and I start laughing because my brain is, it's like, oh, it's like Pavlovian, you know, we do this and I start laughing. You know, my brain knows, oh yeah, we're going to laugh now.
I'm ready. Do you see a spiritual element to laughter yoga?
Oh, absolutely. It's how do I put that into words? So I'll say this just for myself, because I know Dr. Kataria has talked about the spiritual aspect, but I wouldn't want to put words into his mouth. So I'll just share how it feels spiritual to me. When I'm laughing with a group of people, whether it be my morning group or an international group of, you know, sometimes we've had 200 people at night, you know, regularly we get around 100 to 150, and sometimes we get even upwards of 200. From all over the world, and we're all laughing and being playful and silly, and you can see each other on Zoom and sometimes hear each other's voices. You know, there's no other, there's no sense of distance. It's, we are all one, we are all, there's the you know, yes, we come from different cultures and backgrounds and have different histories, but there is this connection of the human spirit and the joy of laughter. I have been practicing meditation for many years and have studied Buddhism, and I have a master's in divinity with an emphasis in Buddhism. And you know, in our Buddhist tradition, we talk about the ground of basic goodness, that humans are basically good. We forget that we're good, and that kind of can cause a lot of suffering in the world. Mm-hmm. But that at our core, we're longing to return to goodness. Mm-hmm. And to me, laughter yoga helps us tap into that innocence of childhood, that joy, and that love. I mean, there's true love on this Zoom class where people are saying I love you and putting little hearts, you know, making little hearts with their hands. You know, if you put your fingertips and your thumb together, you can make a little heart. And it's genuine. It feels sincere, and where you hug each other, you know, virtual hugs over the screen. And that connection and that love and compassion to me feels very spiritual. And no matter what religion someone is, no matter what their practice of spirituality is, there's this connection of acceptance and love and humanity and goodness.
And in my mind too, with laughter, there's something, you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Yes. Yes.
And so that creates a connection with, you know, people you may not even speak the same language.
Yes.
But there's that universal language of laughter. and joy. Man, I just find it so beautiful.
And you're right, that vulnerability, and it's so fun to see because people have the option when they come on the International Club to leave their cameras off. And so sometimes I'll see someone's name on the screen for a while before they, one night they'll turn their camera on and we get to see them. And we don't, you know, we allow people to participate whatever their comfort level is, but it's so lovely when someone starts to feel safe enough and that they can be vulnerable, that they can turn on their camera and laugh in front of strangers at something really silly, you know? We did the hokey pokey one night and, you know, it's...
I wonder sometimes if, you know, and I've attended a few of the international ones, not a ton, but just even the classes we did when we were learning, could this be, you know, following through the type of meditation? I don't know, you know, if laughing at home in your morning practice or something like that, is there something, you know, in, it's cathartic in some ways. It lets a lot of things out. I could tap in. I just wonder what, you know, the depths that could be plumbed finding out.
Yeah, well, Dr. Kataria added recently a fifth step. So the kind of four basic steps are clapping and chanting, deep breathing exercises, childlike playfulness, and laughter exercises. And then the fifth step he's added is silence, so that after we do all of this, then we come into stillness and silence. And it really is exactly what you're saying, that catharsis happens, this beautiful energy, and then we're just bringing that into stillness. And I know Ashok, who is one of the leaders as well, he will, in his other classes, will sometimes combine meditation with laughter. And I've been wanting to do a class with him with time differences. I've not yet been able to, but at some point I'm hoping to experience that, because that's something that he does do, is part laughter, part meditation in his
Yeah. That would be neat. I wonder if they would record that. I would love to see it myself. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'll ask you about that, because I think that would, I would love to see that as well.
Right, right. You know, and I was thinking as you were talking too, I remember as a teenager, and I was a fundamentalist teen, extreme. I believed it for hook, line, sinker, but I remember the first time seeing a picture of Jesus laughing. And I thought it was very strange that I hadn't, you know, in Christianity, they believe Jesus fully man, fully God, but to see a spiritual figure laughing. And I mean, he had his head thrown back. And so now one of my fascinations, whether it's Krishna, Buddha, is the idea of this, them finding joy, because if they couldn't find joy in life, then they're probably not much of a teacher. You just picture them all so serious and spouting their wisdom, or not so wisdom, but yeah, it's kind of interesting.
That's so funny. Someone for Christmas this year gave me a laughing Buddha statue, a little laughing Buddha, and I was like, oh, he's laughing, you know. Yeah, we doesn't have to just be the serious meditating, you know. That's fine too, but yeah, absolutely. I love it. I don't think I've ever seen a picture of Jesus laughing. Now I want to.
I'll have to find it and send it to you. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Were you raised religious?
I was raised Catholic, yet my mother believed in reincarnation and was very open to me finding my own spirituality. Mm-hmm. And then I had some neighbors who were Baptist who would take me to church with them. And I remember my biggest memory as a child of that was that to me, they were all teaching like love each other and be good in Jesus. And, but they would, you know, the Catholics and the Baptists were fighting and they weren't. And that made it just, even as a little kid, I remember thinking, that didn't make sense to me. Why you all want to love each other? Why are you arguing? You know, why is one better than the other? And so as I got older, I moved away. I lived in the South. I went to high school in Knoxville, Tennessee, and there was a lot of, and I saw a lot of harm to friends of mine because of religion. You know, either they were LGBTQ or different in some way than didn't fit into the the very conservative Christian mindset. Not everyone was that. There were some, you know, really beautiful Christians who were very open as well. But and so I sort of became like a pagan, but more out of a sort of sense of rebellion at that time. You know, I was, and also the sort of satanic panic of the 90s, late 80s.
Right. Going on. And,
I was seeing that directly in my school, and where the kids like that wore black and looked funny, which was the artists in the theater.
The craft.
You know, exactly. And they were getting called into the principal's office and accused of being part of satanic.
Oh, gosh.
So again, that just didn't fit how I believed Christianity to be, which was all about love and peace and embracing one another. So then I just began a meandering spiritual journey that led me to Buddhism. Though I don't know that I would call myself a Buddhist, led me to Reiki, which I would now consider my spiritual practice is self-treatment with Reiki, which is very meditative for me, though I also incorporate Buddhist mind practices with that. Mm-hmm. And then I have initiated in the Hungarian Bakshi shamanic lineage. So that's part of my path as well. So that's... So, you know, spirituality, it's a huge part of my life, though I can't, you know, I can't say I belong to a church or this is my, you know.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. I always wrestle with that because something in me says, oh, you got to belong to one. But I'm like, well, Sanatana Dharma encompasses a lot of this. So maybe it's not that, you know. Let's see, what other question? Why do you think laughter is so liberating? In your opinion, why is it so liberating?
There is something, I don't know, the vulnerability piece, it's like we're so afraid to break some kind of social taboo or convention. And to me, there is something it's like laughter just lets us drop all of that and just be in joy. It releases the fear of, oh, am I gonna do this right? Or am I being accepted? Or am I, you know, it's, I also come, so my family was very Irish Catholic. My grandparents were from Ireland. And so the laughter and laughing and crying happened simultaneously. You know, like the family joke was, we never had as much fun as at the family funerals, because it would just be this raucous laughter and then tears and then more laughter. And then, you know, and it was funny. I mean, funeral directors never quite knew what to do with us, because it was like, all the grieving family is laughing. And then sobbing the next minute. But there, you know, again, that catharsis, that release, and that freedom from this narrow world that we can sometimes create and try to pretzel ourselves into, that nobody really fits into. You know, it's all an illusion. There's no, you know, we're creating this confinement and then strapping ourselves. So to bust out of that, that's so freeing.
Right, it's almost like a crazy wisdom a little bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I very much my Buddhist tradition is that kind of is the crazy wisdom.
Right, because I believe the founder of because you went to Europa, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, the founder, he was kind of known for that, for better or worse. Well, if someone wanted to find a laughter yoga club or wanted to come to one of yours, how did they do that? What did they do?
If you go to, let me make sure I get it right. It's laughteryoga.org. Is that correct? I want to make sure I give you the correct. I should look this up.
Sorry, I put you on the spot with that. No, and I will put it in the podcast notes too.
It is laughteryoga.org. You'll see there's a many resources on there. First, if you wanted to do training, there's resources. There's for online training and also trainings all around the world that happen in person. There are links to laughter yoga clubs. There's a Google Calendar that you can integrate into your Google, into your Google login that has pretty much any time of day, any day of the week, somewhere in the world, there is a laughter yoga club. It's pretty cool to look at the calendar and just, and sometimes they're in, you know, any language, but most, if they put them on the calendar, then you're, anyone is welcome to join. And you know, like you said, the laughter is a universal language. So,
is there any charge for these?
I think most of them are free. If they're not, they will say on the Google Calendar. Most are free. Some have a small charge. Some have a, you know, donation, accept donations, but it's all listed on that calendar. And then the one that I lead is the International Laughter Club on Zoom, and it's every day. It is 6 o'clock Pacific time. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, it's seven mountain, six Pacific, seven mountain, nine Eastern.
Eight Central, right? Eight, yes. Keep up with it all. Yeah, that was good. I couldn't do all that in my head. I have to start looking it up because my brain starts going crazy.
I've had to, that one. I've had to do. It does change with the. With the time change too. So just be aware of that, like that it will in a, you know, few months, it'll, or weeks, months, it'll turn, go to 8 o'clock mountain. So I have to track that, but it's, so it's morning in India. It's actually 7:30 in the morning in India. And so most of the people from Asia, they're doing this first thing in the morning. And so it's, and then there, they also have another, class that I have not done because it's 6 o'clock in the evening India time, which is 5:30 in the morning my time. So that's just, I'm not a morning person. So, but that's an option because people like from Europe can't do the one that I lead because you know, every once in a while we will get someone from Europe who it's like 4 a.m. for them and they hop on. It's great. Wow. But, you know, the, so they're, but it's all listed on that website, thelaughteryoga.org, and you can find links. It's free. The International Laughter Club is free. Again, 7 days a week. I lead 5 or 6 nights a week, usually, for at least part of the time. And I love it. And we love having new people. We've been getting quite a few new people, which is really fun. And we always just, again, encourage people, if you want to keep your camera off, that's fine. We do love to spotlight people and show people, especially new folks, to welcome you. If that's not comfortable for people, we're not going to make anyone uncomfortable. We also love to celebrate birthdays and special events, and I love that. So it really is a community. Again, we get anywhere between like 100 to 150 people a night. But there's a core group that come every single day, and probably about 40 or so that come every day. And it is like a community, and it's lovely to celebrate accomplishments with people, and people bring family members. And so it is a community, and we welcome everyone.
So I guess my final question before we get off of here is, you mentioned you started, you know, part of it due to the Lyme disease.
Yep.
And how is it? Did it affect it?
Oh, absolutely. I am healthier and stronger now than I have been in years. And I know a big part of that is also, even if I do have a day where I don't feel well, I don't care. I still laugh. It's, you know, I take care of my body. I rest. I got COVID over the summer, and I just laughed every day. I wasn't able to do the club because I couldn't get out of bed, but I laughed and made a point to laugh. And I got through it really, you know, I had a couple of days where I did not feel good, but I got through it really well. My immune, that was a huge test for my immune system, and I did great. Right. And I know it was because I just laughed, and you know, it has really shifted my health in a huge way. Both again in feeling stronger, and in boosting my immunity, and also and just, okay, if I have a day where I am tired, oh well, you know. And that's one of the things we do with laughter yoga, is we practice for the times that aren't funny. Like, you know, you spill a cup of coffee on your white shirt, and you know, oh well, and you laugh, you know, or get cut off in traffic, oh well, and you laugh. And that is made, and I've heard several people say this too, just practicing that in class, when those things happen in daily life, my inclination is to laugh now. I go right to laughter instead of, you know, screaming at a driver.
Stress and spiraling and all of that. All right. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for being on here. This has been tremendous. I need to hop back in one of those classes for sure, because I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this. I remember that. And yeah, this is coming back to me. So
yeah, well, thank you so much. Again. Great. Yeah.
Yes.
thanks again. Well,
thank you. And please have an amazing rest of your night. And I will see you soon.
All right. You too.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you want to continue listening, please consider joining our Patreon or visiting us on Facebook. Until next time, this is Pax.